On page Zion Amid Aleph. What are you doing? We finished the Mishnah.
So
when the Gemara. Okay. Like 12 lines down. 2, 4, 6, 10, 12, 14, exactly. 15 lines down. And the Mishnah says it then as follows. That if somebody was in a court case and in the judgment and the court paskined that the person has to be killed, and then he runs away, and then he comes to another, it's in front of the same Bezdin. Mm-hmm. So Bezdin doesn't have to rehear the case, he just ruled that he gets killed and that's it. Then if two people come and testify, another case in the Mishnah, if two people come and testify that this and this guy was judged in this and this court and they ruled him to die, and these are his witnesses that caused him to die, he gets killed. That the Mishnah said that the laws of Sanhedrin is in Israel and outside of Eretz Yisrael. And then the Mishnah discussed the Bezdin that kills once in 7 years. In 7 years is called the Gilling Bezdin. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Lifnei Eise Bezdin Huda in Seisrin. The Mishnah said that if a guy was finished in Bezdin and then he comes back to the same Bezdin, so they don't rehear the case. Which means that only if it's in the same Bezdin, you don't rehear the case. Called if they Bezdin Acher, but if it's in a different Bezdin, if he comes to a different Bezdin and he says that I was judged for capital punishment, Seisrin, you do reconsider the case. Because the Mishnah said only if you come to the same Bezdin do you not reconsider the case, which means if you come to a different Bezdin, you do reconsider the case. So the Gemara asks, a ton is safer, but at the end of the Mishnah it says another din, Kol Mokum Shiyam Dishnaim, anytime there's two people as witnesses. The Yemen, they say, Me'id and Anu Ish Plaini, we testify about this and this guy. Shenigmer, Dina Bebez Din Shaplaini, that he was sentenced in such and such a court. Plaini, Plaini Eidav, and these are his witnesses. Hayrez and Erag, he does get killed. Which implies, even if it's a different Bezdin, not only the same Bezdin, you don't even have to reconsider the case, you right away kill the guy. So the Gemara is asking a contradiction from the beginning to the end. In the beginning it says, only if it's the same court you don't reconsider it. But if it's a different court, you do reconsider it. And yet the next case in the Mishnah says that even if witnesses come to any court and say that this guy was sentenced to die, then you do it anyway. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Lekasha. It's not a question. Kan Beretz Yisrael, Kan B'chutz Laretz. Meaning, if he was in a court in Eretz Yisrael, meaning, he was tried outside of Eretz Yisrael, and then he comes back to Eretz Yisrael. So the din is, Eretz Yisrael, yeah, we speak a case of land, according to Eretz Yisrael, meaning, he was tried outside of Eretz Yisrael, then came back to Eretz Yisrael. If it's a different court, they will reconsider the case. I was going to explain as follows. The heir of Eretz Yisrael makes you smart. That's what the Gemara says, the rule. Israeli heir makes you smart. There's an assumption in Halacha that the Israeli Bezdin, not nowadays, in the old times, the Israeli Bezdin was smarter than the Bezdin outside of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore the Mishnah says, the way the Gemara is explaining the Mishnah, if the person was tried outside of Eretz Yisrael and found guilty, and now he comes to Eretz Yisrael, they will reconsider the case. Because maybe the Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael will find him innocent. That the guys outside of Eretz Yisrael couldn't. The other case of the mission is, when he was outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it's back in outside of Eretz Yisrael, then Bezdin doesn't have to be considered the case.
That would get pretty complicated. You gotta bring all the witnesses again.
Yeah, but they will try to check it out again. You're right. Yeah, but you're talking about saving a life. If it's a question of saving a life, money is not an option. But the Gemara says an interesting concept. If a guy was tried outside of Eretz Yisrael and found guilty, he might be found innocent in Eretz Yisrael, and we give him that opportunity. We give him that opportunity. But if a guy is tried outside of Eretz Yisrael, what do you have to reconsider the case for? Another Bezdin outside of Eretz Yisrael is going to say the same thing. And the Gemara says, the Tanya, we even prove it. Because we learned in a Braisa the following din. Rabbi Yehuda ben Dustoy, Rabbi Shimon ben Shatach. Rabbi Yehuda ben Dustoy says in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Shatach the following din. Baruch me aretz l'chutz l'aretz. If a guy ran away from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz l'aretz, meaning he had a trial in Eretz Yisrael, found guilty, and then he runs away to Eretz Yisrael, ain't seisin as dina, you don't reconsider the case. Why? Because if Eretz Yisrael made him guilty, outside of Eretz Yisrael for sure be guilty. But Chutz l'aretz l'aretz, but if somebody ran from outside of Eretz Yisrael after he was sentenced out to the Eretz Yisrael, and he runs to Eretz Yisrael, seisin as dina. You undo his din, meaning you start to din teir again, because of the merit of Eretz Yisrael, they might find him some loophole that he should be innocent. And the ultimate purpose of a bezdin is, as the Torah says, in capital punishment, to try to get a guy innocent. So sometimes the Gemara says it's a possibility that a bezin outside of Eretz Yisrael will find him guilty, but a bezin in Eretz Yisrael will find him innocent. The opposite won't be. Okay, then the Gemara says, the Gemara is continuing what the Mishnah said. Sanhedrin Neagis, the law of bezin applies in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Minohani Mili, where do I learn this out from? From where do I learn that the law of Bezdin applies in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael? Because the Tan Rabbanan learned, it says, V'hoya elo lachem l'chukas mishpat, these will be the laws for judgment, l'derei seichem, for all generations. Now obviously, not always are the Jews going to be in Israel. And yet the Pasuk says, this will be the judgment for all generations. Meaning, in out, l'madnu teaches us, that the law of Bezdin applies in Eretz Yisrael. Get him a good body. Find him the place. In Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Im came, if so, the Gemara asks, my tamad leimer bisharecha. Why does it say, bisharecha, you should set up Bezdin in your courts, in your gates? Now, your gates means Eretz Yisrael. So if you tell me Sanhedrin is all over the place, why does it say, Shaftim v'shaytrim titan lecha b'chol shi'arecha, in all your gates, meaning Eretz Yisrael? And you just got through saying that Bezdin is all over the world. So the Gemara answers as follows. There's a difference between Israel and outside of Israel. What's the difference? B'sharecha, in Eretz Yisrael, atamei shivatidim, you have an obligation to set up a Bezdin b'chol plach u'plach, in every district, ubechol ir ve'ir, in every city. B'chutz l'aretz, I'll explain in a second, atameshe b'chol plach b'chach, you need in every district. V'atameshe b'chol ir ve'ir, but you don't need one in every city. Meaning as follows. The Gemara says very simply, there's an obligation to set up a court system, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or not. Because the Pasuk says, l'derei seichem, for all your future generations, you need to set up court. Obviously, the Jews will not always be in Israel. So the Gemara says, anytime it says L'derei Seichem, it means anywhere. What's the difference, though, between the Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael and the Bezdin outside of Eretz Yisrael? Because there is an emphasis by Bezdin, B'chol She'arecha, in your gates, meaning in Israel. So obviously, there's a difference between Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael and Bezdin not. So the Gemara says very simple. In Eretz Yisrael, every city had to have a Bezdin. In Chutz Laretz, not every city, every county, every state, I mean, whatever it is. So, in Eretz Yisrael, you must have in every city a Bezdin. And that was the halacha. Every city had to have at least a Bezdin of 3. Now, to give capital punishment, you need 23. So, you didn't have every city having a Bezdin of 23. Because some cities didn't have 23 people. I mean, what?
Rabbi, forgive me. Danny Boy is the guy who fled. He was convicted of murder.
Yeah.
And before they can sentence him to death, he escapes.
Right.
And he comes to
another Bezdin.
All right. Wouldn't you think that they would know that he's already been found guilty of murder, catch him and return him to where he escaped from, rather than give him another trial and maybe even find him innocent?
First of all, we don't know what the old Besdin said because they didn't have emails or fax machines or telephones. You talk about a primitive society in the olden times. So a guy was convicted and then he comes to another city. Or two people, another country, whatever it is, yeah.
How do they know he was filed in another city?
He said so, or two witnesses came.
Doesn't that make him guilty already if two witnesses come?
No, they don't say he's guilty. They just say, we just know that a Besdin in a different city sentenced him. They're not testifying on the act. They say, we just know that Besdin in this and this city sentenced the guy. So the Gemara's question is, do we just rely on that and kill him? Or do you have to retry the guy? So the Gemara says, if he ran from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, you do the trial again. Why? Because maybe he'll be found innocent in Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah says, we learned already a din. If a guy was sentenced to die, and they're taking him out to hang, yeah? And they have the rope around his neck already, whatever, and a guy comes running and says, 1 minute, I have a merit for the guy. The din is, you undo the rope, the guy's almost, hey, you undo the rope, you go back to Bez and start all over again. If a guy was found innocent, and Bezdin says to the guy, and the guy comes, after Bezdin ruled innocent, and a guy comes running, no, I could show that he did it. Bezdin doesn't do it again.
He's innocent.
He's innocent. Once Bezdin rules innocent, is innocent. Why? Because the Torah says, Apasik, Vishavtu ha'eda, Vihitzilu ha'eda. The people have to judge him, and have to be able to make him innocent. In other words, the whole concept of you're innocent to proven guilty, but it's more than innocent to proven guilty. You're innocent. And Bezdin has to try to prove that you're innocent.
There's another law, so you can't try a same person twice.
For the same.
Yeah, that's in Torah law also.
Yeah.
For the same crime, though.
For the same crime, yeah.
But here, obviously, from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, you could, because you might find them innocent. In other words, because you might find them innocent, you do try him again because just to make him innocent. What?
Basin doesn't hang people, right?
Even
Chenik is not hanging.
Chenik is choking.
Yeah.
But there was.
Afterwards, he's hanging.
Huh? Right, okay, whatever, you're right. So they were about to throw him off the thing.
So a guy with guilty should run away.
Huh?
The guy who's found guilty should run away.
Yeah, but Bezdin, what do you think? Bezdin's going to say, okay, here's the door, run. Bezdin doesn't do that. But you know, according to Torah law, we learned already in the past. See, here in America, when a guy is sentenced to die, he goes to death row, and he stays there for a few years, until they appeal, and then the last appeal, and appeal, and appeal, and appeal, and then until, from the time they sentence him to die, until he gets killed, could take 10 years.
That's right.
In Torah law, that's cruelty. In Torah law, the same day of the sentencing, he has to die. He has to be. Therefore, Bezdin can't make a ruling all the way at the end of the day that you don't have time to kill the guy. Bezdin has to rule early enough that they have time to kill the guy, because according to the din, the day he's sentenced, he dies. Because there's no appellate system in court in Bezdin, and there's no all these things. So if Bezdin ruled that he dies, he has to die the same day.
What system of execution did they use in those days?
There were four. Skila, no, not hanging, in fact. Hang, they hung him up afterwards for a short period of time. They stoned him, which was really not stoning either. They threw him off a two-story building, and then they put a stone on his head. Sreif is, they made him drink hot lead. Chenik is, they choked him. Or headache is they with a sword.
How do they choke him? Not hanging?
No.
Oh.
They
with the hands?
No, they put a rope around his neck and two people pulled.
What they wanted to do with Mussolini.
No.
They never catch him.
Huh? No, but the Shlich Bez not Goyim. No, not Goyim. The Shlich Bezdin did it.
Really brutal, right?
Yeah, but you have to understand, the Torah said it's a mitzvah to kill him.
Is the fact that the guy's they kill him right away contradicts all the favor finding of the court?
No, because Bezdin, by the time they sentenced him, used every possible. I mean, that's why the next piece of Gemara we're going, the Bezdin that killed him once in 7 years, 70 years, is called the killing Bezdin. I mean, it wasn't that every other day Bezdin just sentenced people to die. Once in 7 years or once in 70 years is calling a killing Bezdin. So they did it very rarely that they actually killed a guy. And if we're going to learn the Gemara, how Rabbi Kiven of Tarfon said that if we would be in the Bezdin, nobody would ever die. And we'll see in the Gemara. Anyway, the Mishnah said, Sanhedrin and Hereges. And the Mishnah says that a Bezdin that kills somebody once in 7 years, or the other opinion, 70 years, is calling a killing Bezdin. See, boy, lahu, there was a question asked in the Gemara. Did it mean take once in 70 years? Or Dilma Erech Ada? Or did it mean it was an acceptable number of executions? Meaning, the question is it take exactly once in 70? Or the Gemara means once in 70 is acceptable. In other words, one in 70 years, is it acceptable or not acceptable? That's the question of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Teiku. We don't know. Then it says, Reb Tarfon, Reb Akiva Emrim, Reb Tarfon, Reb Akiva said as follows, Ilo Yinu B'Sanhedrin, if we would be in the Sanhedrin, nobody would ever get killed. So the Gemara says, Hecha Havdo, what would they do to make, you know, obviously, they're not saying that nobody's ever going to die. How did they, what would they do to make the guy so crazy? They're not ignoring the law, right? So the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yechim and Rabbi Lazar Damer Tavayel. They said as follows. Re'isim treifa horek shalim horek. Did you see when he killed him, was he a treifa or a whole person? Meaning as follows. There are certain, you know, when you just start to get understand it properly. When you shecht an animal, you have to check the lungs to make sure there's no growths and holes, and you have to make sure there's no broken bones, and you know, that's called the checking of the animal. So you get glatt and not glatt, but under all circumstances, an animal has to be checked. If there's certain holes in parts of the body, if there's certain broken bones in parts of the body, if there's certain organs missing, it's not a kosher animal. Why isn't it a kosher animal? Because an animal that can't live as is for 12 months is called a treifa. Okay? The din is, if you shecht a treifa, means an animal that would not make it for 12 months, it's not a good shechita because the animal is considered a dead animal. That's talocha. And you can't shecht a dead animal. It's still alive running around, but an animal that has wounds, blemishes, holes, broken bones, whatever, that is going to die in 12 months, it's not considered a living animal. Therefore, when you shecht an animal, part of the primary process, besides the shechita, which, by the way, the second part is even harder, the checking of the animal, you have to stick your hand into the inside of the animal, move it around, you have to check every part of the animal to make sure there's no blemishes. The same thing, there's a concept of a treifa by a human. A human who won't make it to live 12 months under normal circumstances, he's sick, and he's not going to, if you kill him, you don't get capital punishment. You don't get killed. Because you're basically killing a dead person. If somebody kills a dead person, you don't get death, right? So if you kill a treifa, you're also not liable to death. That's why, like we discussed during the week, if you kill a baby, God forbid, that's less than a month old, because he doesn't have a chazak of being alive yet, you don't get capital punishment. Because how do you know the baby's going to live? Maybe he's going to die before 30 days, and he's not the viable life yet.
Isn't the point that it's a live human being?
No, not according to Allah. Yeah, he's living, you know, you can count it for the minion. Right, but this are normal circumstances.
Without medical intervention.
Without medical intervention. Mm-hmm. Now, so now the question is, two witnesses are testifying, what's the case over here? Two witnesses testified they saw Reuven kill Shimon. So the Rabbi Kiva said, we're going to ask the witnesses, How do you know Shimon wasn't the treifa? Did you see that he was a healthy person? Did you check his insides? Maybe he had a broken heart. Maybe he had a broken heart. Maybe he had who knows what? How do you know he was a? So that the witnesses would never be able to know.
Are they supposed to know?
No, they're not supposed to know. So Tasis asks the question.
Unless they're doctors.
Huh? Tasis asks a very interesting question over here. In fact, they bring down, even though it's not a question to ask the witness. Bezdin never asks that question. But if you ask the question and they say, I don't know, they're not good witnesses anymore. And as Tasis explains, there are certain things you don't ask, the witnesses don't have to know. But once you ask and they say, I don't know, they disqualify themselves as witnesses. So the Bekir and Abtarfin say, you know something, when nobody's ever going to get killed. What did you want to ask? Huh? Was answered?
It's off topic.
Okay. Then he says, then Rav Ashi continues even more. And Amar Rav Ashi, then they say to the witnesses, Imtim Soleim Shalem, even if you say he was a whole person, meaning a healthy person, Dilma B'makim Saiv Nekev Hava. Maybe, where the, let's say Reuven cut Shimon's throat, yeah? Maybe in the place where he cut him, there was a hole before that would make him treifa anyway, even though now you don't even see it after he died. And then, they ask him such weird question. Maybe the guy had a hole in his throat. He would die anyway. And the guy shechted them, the Reuven shechted Shimon, so to speak, he killed him with a knife in the exact place where there was a hole, and therefore you didn't even see the hole. So the Gemara asks, okay, that's good by murder, but Babel said, but what did they do with adultery? You know, how, what questions did they ask? So they said, did you actually see the act? Not that they were fooling around, but did you actually see the act going on? And their witnesses would have to say no, because most of the time they wouldn't see it. So the Gemara asks, but the Rabbanon that argue in Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon, that they say people were killed, right, for capital punishment, but how did they judge the people if they didn't know all these details? So the answer is Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel ben Na'afim Sheyur ben Na'afim. By adulterers, they don't have to see the actual act of adultery. As long as they saw him engaging in acts that would lead to adultery, it would be considered adultery. And Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon held, unless if you see the actual act the way it is, then you can't kill the guy. So the Gemara is concluding the Perek, so to speak, by explaining that a Bezdin, either once in 7 years, by the way, the Rambam Baskins, it's once in 7 years, not in 70 years. It means a Bezdin kills once in 7 years, it's called the killing Bezdin. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon say we would make the witnesses so crazy, we would ask him questions that's impossible for them to know, and that's it.
You know, I would be ashamed if I were living then and be and Jewish and know what I know about the law today.
Good.
Is that why that they have in Israel today?
Coach, if you happen to kill somebody, you would be...
They don't have a capital punishment.
In fact, one second. Rabbeinu Tam says, like I said before, in Taisis, that if you don't ask him, it doesn't matter. But if you ask him and they don't know, it's no good. So Taisis says that doesn't make sense to say such a statement. In other words, something that they don't have to know. But if you ask them and they don't know, then it's worse. If they don't have to know, they don't have to know it. Witnesses don't have to know that. They have to know what time it happened, how it happened, you know, where. But they have to know. So Taisus says, because the majority of the people are healthy, so therefore you don't have that assumption.
Is that the reason they don't have capital punishment in Israel today?
In fact, Taisus says, no, there's all different things. Taisus says,
huh? They have capital
punishment. Taisus, 1 second. Taisus says that Rabbi Kiva, Taisus learns a whole different shot. Taisus learns that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon say we would never kill a person. They don't mean never. They mean most of the time we wouldn't kill them. That's the way Tosfos learns. Not never. Because how can you ask such a question if they don't have to know it? It means it would make them so crazy that they would start, the witnesses would start contradicting one another. Or they would contradict themselves. Why, L'cheira, why should Bezdin do it? What's the logic? We explained this already once before. What's the logic of Bezdin's obligation of finding the guy innocent? If the guy's a murderer, kill him. Right? Why are you going to find merit in the guy? So the answer is very simple. A guy's dead already. If he's dead, Hashem wanted him to be dead. Right? Why are you trying to kill another person for? The guy that died, Hashem wanted him to die. If not, he wouldn't have died. Right? Reuven kills Shimon. Shimon's dead. Bottom line, Reuven's fault, not Reuven's fault. Bottom line, did God want Shimon to die? God wanted Shimon to die. Yeah? So why are you killing another guy for?
God didn't want him to die. The other guy doesn't want the other guy to die because of what he did?
Well, that's why the Torah says, V'hit silo seder, try to find everything positive, he shouldn't die. If you have no choice, obviously you have to kill him. But if there's any way that you can get Reuven out of the story, then God wants it that way. That's one of the reasons. What?
What about the Lazar condition that the defendant can have?
Well, right. There's Malchus, there's monetary damages. There's no jail term.
No jail?
There's no jail as a punishment in halacha.
What about Ari Miklot?
Ari Miklot, that's the next mishnah we're learning about. The next mishnah is all about Ari Miklot.
Didn't they have what was called wards that they put them in?
Just not as a sentencing.
I see.
Entire law, like today in America, you do a crime, you have to be in jail for 5 years. Yeah. That's the punishment. Yeah. There is no such thing in Torah. And the Rebbe explains in a sicha,
you're either free or
you're either punished,
or you pay money.
Right.
Or
the Rebbe explains, because the purpose of a person is to be constructive,
uh-huh,
to do things. To sit in jail and do nothing is contrary to the entire existence of the person. So if a person did a crime, that the forgiveness and the repentance is by death, mm-hmm, that means the person did such a crime that he doesn't deserve to live anymore. So then you kill him. But if a guy did a crime, what are you sitting there wasting away your life? That's the whole contrary to the entire purpose of creation. So either you beat him up and get back into life, or, you know,
get rid of him.
Yeah. Because, and the Rebbe said even more, most of the times, see, the concept, even in the secular system, is supposed to be a concept of therapy and to rehab, rehabilitation. So the Rebbe said, the fact is, Ben Sias, that people, when they stay in prison a long time, that not only they're rehabilitated, they become worse and more hardcore criminals. So the Rebbe said, the Rebbe in fact was, rather than having jail, that a person's secluded from, locked away from society, and can't function, the Rebbe believed, if you want to do something, really rehabilitate them while they're in society. That they should be conducive, constructive, or whatever.
So what's this statement, the Rebbe's statement in one of the Chabad books? Is it a couple of weeks ago? Top 10?
Could be. If death came. Okay, next Mishnah. Now, just as an introduction, there is different levels of murder. There is intentional murder and accidental murder. Intentional murder, you get killed. Accidental murder, well, it's not so easy. We're going to learn different levels of accidental murder. Some accidental murders, when you kill somebody, you have to run what's called to the Adi Miklat, to the city of refuge. You have to stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies, and then you go out free. The Gemara will say later that the mother of the Kohen Gadol would bring the people from the Adi Miklat food and presents that they shouldn't daven that her son should die. Because the guy didn't want to be in the Adi Miklat. So they would daven for the Kohen Gadol to die, because then they get out. So she would appease them not to daven for them. Okay, so it says as follows. Elohein HaGoylim. These are the people that run to the city of refuge. Now what's the din? Ha'edig nefesh bishgaga. If somebody kills somebody accidentally. And now the Mishnah is going to give a few examples. If a guy was rolling, in the olden times, the roofs, this is the way the Rashi explains it, the roofs were flat. Nowadays they make them slanty that the rain should come down. In the olden times, the roofs were flat. Why? Because they used to store things on the roof. You can't have a slanty roof like this and use it, because they were short in space. So they used to put things to dry on the roof, so they needed a roof. But yeah, but they had a lot of rain.
No, snow makes it heavy.
You're right, but I'm saying even rain, they didn't want the water to accumulate. So what they did was as follows. The roofs were flat, but they used to put plaster at a slight angle, very slight angle, that the water would run off, but they could still use it. Now how did they use the how did they make the plaster? They used to push a roller, like you see when they make the tar, then they have those rollers to even it out. So when they put plaster on the roof, they would have the rollers rolling the plaster to make it even. So what happens, if a guy was pushing a roller to flatten the roof, and it slipped out of his hands, the roller fell on top of somebody and killed him, that is called an accidental murder. Or, if a guy was lowering a barrel from the roof, like we said, he used to store things on the roof, yeah? So then, they were lowering a barrel from the roof with a rope, yeah? What happened, and it fell on a bystander and it killed him. Meaning, the Gemara is going to explain later, an interesting concept. If the rope cracked and the barrel fell down, he doesn't run to the city of refuge. That's too freakish. The case over here is, the Gemara is going to explain later as follows. A guy was lowering a barrel with a rope, and the rope slipped out of his hands. But if the rope cracked, broke, that's not even accidental. That's even less than accidental.
It's like somebody tampered with
it. No, because that's freakish. Accidental means it's a normal situation. Yeah, it could happen. Yeah. Okay.
Stoning.
Huh?
That was stoning.
What's stoning?
The person that died. Maybe he was supposed to be stoned.
Maybe, but the guy, you're right. That's what Rashi says in Chumash. Rashi says in Chumash, Valakim ina liyadai. Yeah, Rashi says, Mashallah Kadmaini, there's a guy, Rashi says the following in Parshas Mishpatim, there's a guy that killed somebody intentionally, but nobody saw it. So the guy got off. No witnesses, no death, right? So what does Hashem do? Hashem makes a guy fall top on top of him, and he dies. He dies because he was supposed to die because he killed somebody intentionally, bemazed, and nothing ever happened to him. So everybody gets their punishment. But that has nothing to do with the guy that did it accidentally.
Right.
Now, or, a guy was coming down a ladder, not up a ladder, down a ladder, and he fell on top of a person, and he killed him. In all these cases, Areza Geli has to go to Ari Miklat. Now, all these things are downward. The roller fell on somebody. The guy was coming down the ladder. The barrel was lowered. And the Gemara is going to learn out from a pasuk, it's only on the way down, not on the way up. For instance, Ava Mayameshich b'magila, if a guy was pulling the roller, that means he wasn't putting the roller down, he was moving it up. And then it fell on somebody, or Hayadele Bachovitz, if a guy was picking up the barrel and it fell on somebody. Vinifsekachavan, the rope broke, or Vinafalovar Gosei, and or it fell upon him and killed him, or Hayael b'sulam, a guy was going up a ladder, not down the ladder, up a ladder. V'nafal ala v'haragay, and fell on top of the guy and killed him. Hareza ain't a girl, he doesn't go into Ari Miklat. And the Gemara is going to learn it out from the pasuk because it doesn't make sense logically. Zahaklal, this is the rule. The mission concludes. Kol shebederech yiridase, anytime it's going down, geila, he goes to Ari Miklat. Shalei bederech yiridase, if it's not going down, it's ain't a geila. It doesn't go down. It doesn't go to the city of refuge. Before we go into the Gemara, there's another issue we have to understand. Bechlal. A guy is going down a ladder. Yeah, he trips. He falls on his best friend. So there's no question, maybe I hate the guy. Maybe God should make me, maybe God should make me slip. I should break his head. His best friend. The guy's coming down the ladder. Best friend. Skips a step. The step break. Whatever. He falls down on his best friend and he kills him. So then he has to run to the city of refuge. The question is, what in the world did the guy do? There's no intention over here. There's no hatred over here. The guy slipped completely unintentional. Why in the world does he have to run to the city of refuge, Ari Miklat, and stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies? And if it's a newly elected young Kohen Gadol, they got a long time there yet, yeah? And what did he do? He didn't do anything wrong.
Maybe the family may have thought that he did something.
That's not the point. Why does he have... And the Gemara says later in Makkos that in many respects, Golus is harder than death. Death, you're over, finished. Yeah. Golus, you got to live in this exile, it's hard. So explanation is very simple. According to Chassidus, even according to Halacha, but Chassidus sheds the interesting light on it. There's a pasuk that says, Lo yone le tzadik kol oven. God doesn't let a tzaddik come to do an aveda, which means if a person is a proper person, for instance, give you a simple example. If a guy is really careful in kashrus, God would never allow even accidental treif to come into the mouth. The fact that God allowed accidental treif to come into your mouth, meaning accidental, you didn't know it was treif, shows that you're not really as careful in kashrus as you should be. Because if you would be careful as you should, God would never allow such a thing to happen through you. Good things come through good people, bad things come through bad people. The fact that Hashem allowed a death to come through you, doesn't matter, your best friend, not your best friend. The fact, the bottom line is, because of you, the Torah says, somebody died, somebody got killed. It shows you need forgiveness because you have a connection to murder. Because if you have no connection to murder at all, Hashem would never, ever allow that somebody should die through you. So that's why the Torah says, even Shaygig needs kapara. Meaning, a guy eats a meat, he thought it was kosher, it ended up to be treif, he has to bring a carbon. Mm-hmm. Yeah? What did he do wrong? He thought it was kosher, then he knew it was treif and he ate it. I thought it was kosher meat. Somebody even told me it's kosher meat. Somebody told me, and I did it. So what do you want? The answer is, you need to be forgiven for kashrus. Why? Because if you were what you should be, God would have never allowed even an accidental sin to come through you. So if somebody dies because of somebody, that shows they have a connection to murder. And if they have a connection to murder, they need to be forgiven.
And the one who was killed?
He was supposed to die. It's a separate issue. That's God's business. You know, like the world says the expression, the guy was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But in Teda, the guy was in the right place at the right time because God put him there. Yeah.
Rabbi, apropos. Again, back when I was growing up.
That's the name of a writer, apropos.
Kosher delicatessen. For many, many years, everybody ate there at least. There were several delis that were all kosher. And then all of a sudden, the word came out before World War II that this guy was selling trefa meat.
No.
And the Jews, they were going crazy. They were going to shul, banging al chayt and kichutuni and everything. And they went to the rabbis and they cried. And they went to the Beit Din and they cried. And finally, the New York City government had this guy arrested and he ended up in prison. I don't know if he was killed in prison. But
no.
He finally, they closed his deli.
No.
And what the Jews who had eaten all this trefa meat.
And they all had to do tshuva.
I don't know if they all did, but...
I said they were supposed to do tshuva. If you eat poison, and somebody tells you it's not poison, somebody even swears to you it's not poison, yeah? But bottom line is it's poison, you're going to die anyway. It doesn't matter that the guy swore to you, a doctor swore to you it's not poison, the manufacturer swore to you it's not poison. If you eat it and died, man, it's poison, and you're going to die. It doesn't matter what the guy says. You know what I mean? If it's straight, it's straight.
Would it be accepted?
What?
If not, if I want a 60...
Yeah, okay, but I'm saying, you know... It's...
He knew he was selling straight for me. So he ended up...
There's a story here in L.A. not long ago. I mean, now by now it's a long time ago. Remember the big butcher they found selling straight for me? Everybody had to cash of their houses. What was going on in the city then?
Oh,
yeah. Not now.
Should never happen.
No, so the Gemara asks... Minah, okay, Gemara. Third line from the top. Fracti Gemara, Minah, ani mili. From where do we learn that it's only if a downward motion you run to the city of refuge, and if it's an upward motion, you don't run to the city of refuge? Amr Shmuel, so Shmuel said, the Amr, because the Pasuk says, Vayapel Ola Vayomais. If you fell at him and he died, or the object fell on him and died, meaning, Acheyipel Derech Nefila. It has to go in a downward motion. Okay? Now, the Rambam, he says, gives a logic to this. He says as follows. Downward motion, it's more your fault than if it happens in an upward motion and it falls down. Okay? When you're going down, you're more prone to fall, even on a ladder. When you're going down on a ladder, you're more prone to fall down than if you're going up. And the Gemara is soon going to say, something which is freakish is not even accidental. That's freakish. So the Rambam explains that even though it's exerce cause, the Pasuk says, Vayipol, you fell in a downward motion. But the Rambam explains, but downward motion, even though it's accidental, but you're still more guilty than if it was an upward motion. For instance, if you're rolling the roller down, and it falls down, that's much worse as far as you're concerned than if you're rolling it up towards you and it falls down.
You should be more careful when you're rolling it down.
Right. That's what the Rambam says. Therefore, downward motion, you should be more careful. So basically, you know what I'm saying? There are different levels of accident. Even the accident that you have to run to the city of refuge is a negligible accident. It's still an accident, obviously, but you're more responsible, you're more careless, let's put it that way, by downward motion than upward motion. So therefore, you need kapara. Upward motion, you don't need kapara because it's freakish. You know, sometimes things happen to mamish, completely freakish. Then you don't have to run to the city of refuge.
For many years, the Kohen Gadol died every year.
So yes, they were lucky then. Second base of Migdash.
In that case, often in witnesses,
that's
you
right.
Say he was actually pulling up or pushing down.
Correct.
Does he just run to the city of refuge or they tell
you? Better, because if not, the Avenger, the girl, Adam, can kill you.
Yeah.
I don't mean you as you. I mean you, the person.
So doesn't
if a guy kills somebody accidentally, okay, the guy was coming down the ladder, fell on top of somebody, killed him, any relative of that guy can kill the guy before he goes to the city of refuge.
Somebody has to say, determine whether he was on the upward motion.
The first thing the Gemara says, even if you killed somebody intentionally, bemazed, the Gemara says, the first thing you do is run to the city of refuge. If you're intentional, they'll take you out and kill you. If you're accidental, I'll let you stay there. But if you don't run there, you're liable to be killed by anybody of the family. Girl Adam, according to certain, it's a mitzvah on the girl Adam to kill him. So is he allowed to? It's a mitzvah. To, what? Yeah, the first thing you do is run to the city of refuge. And the Gemara says, based, we're going to learn later, based on the Pesukim in Chumash, Rashi quotes it in Chumash also, the roads were clearly marked, you know, Miklat, with arrows, Miklat to know exactly which direction that the guy running for his life shouldn't get lost. So there are cities of refuge, you know, that were clearly marked off where they are and how to get there in the quickest way, and the maps family, the map quest.
And the family members of the person who got murdered or killed, they're not punishable.
If they kill him, no. No, not at all.
Unless he's in
the city of refuge. If he's in the city of refuge and they kill him, then they're murderers.
But they have to prove first that he killed accidentally. There has to be two witnesses that go to Beit Din and prove it.
The question, how do you know if he did it accidentally or not?
First, they have to prove it. Family, that's proven first before the family could kill the guy.
No.
If there was no proof at all, they could just kill the guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll take, yeah, Beryl.
Has there been any discussion about the tribes concerning cities of refuge?
No, today they don't exist. The Rambam brings a proof from the cities of refuge that the Torah speaks about Mashiach's coming. You know, nowhere in Chumash is it mentioned Mashiach's coming. But the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim, when he talks about Mashiach, the Rambam says, even by Ari Miklat, the Torah hints to the concept of Mashiach. How? Because the Torah says, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there are six cities of refuge. Six. Then the Torah says, when God will broaden your boundaries, he's going to add another three. So the Rambam said, that never happened. And to say the Torah is going to say about something that never is going to happen, why is the Torah mentioning it? So obviously the Torah says that the Ari Miklat are going to exist when Mashiach comes. That means the Torah itself is saying that Mashiach is coming, and then there's going to be three more cities of refuge. And there's a whole sikh from the Rebbe, that the Rebbe asks, when Mashiach comes, there won't be any more death. Why do you need cities of refuge for? The Rebbe learns for those people that murdered during the time of Golus. There's a lot of different explanations of why a person, why we're going to need Ari Miklat when Mashiach comes. Okay, anyway, now the Gemara said what?
What if somebody killed someone accidentally in Ari Miklat?
Oh, it's a good question. No, you have to run to a city, different neighborhood in the same city. Mm-hmm. If. Question was, what happens if somebody accidentally kills somebody in the Ari Miklat? So the Gemara talks about this, the Rambam talks about this. Says that if you do it, you have to go from Golus, from neighborhood to neighborhood. You have to change neighborhoods. You're so,
then you're safe.
Then you're safe.
But they don't have any relatives, hopefully.
Yeah, but the city, a relative can come.
Are you allowed to kill, are the relatives allowed to kill while you're going from one neighborhood? Next.
I don't think so.
How does the family? So the family saw this guy kill accidentally?
Yeah.
Oh. You got a chip of the old block that cut a heart. No comment?
It's like his mother.
Oh, thank God.
I love it.
Thanks.
Now the Gemara says, Tal Rabban Rabban learnt. Now, the Gemara is going to go into a new concept. There's a difference accidentally and there's unintentional. It's two different things. There's accidental and unintentional. Well, let me just explain the difference outside. Accidental means, in this case, I didn't know I was doing an act of murder at all. I was coming down the ladder and I fell down. Unintentional means as follows. I was shooting for an animal. And I missed the animal and the person got in the way. So I knew I was shooting. So I can't say, I like falling down a ladder, you could say, I didn't expect to fall down the ladder. Unintentional means I knew what I was doing, but the murder that I committed was unintentional because I meant to shoot a behemoth. It was like hunting, you know, the old times used to hunt, right? You hunt, and by mistake, I shot a person. The guy shooting at target practice, and the guy gets in the way. That's unintentional. It's not accidental. And halacha, the Gemara, that's unintentional.
What's the difference?
Oh, we'll see. Tana Rabbanan learned both are the same thing. Huh?
Yeah, that's been my question.
Tana Rabbanan learned as follows. It says in the Torah Bishkaga, when it means Bishkaga, it means Prat L'Mezit, excludes that if you kill somebody intentionally, then you don't go to Ari Miklat, you get killed. Bavli Das, without intent, meaning Prat L'Miskavit, that if you were unintentional, also not. So the Gemara says, Mezit Pshita. Of course, Bar Katoli gets killed. Of course, Mezit gets killed. I don't mean that. The Torah says clearly if you did that. So the guy says, no. Amrava or Rabba. Eme Prat L'Emen Mutter. It means the guy thought you're allowed to kill. The guy didn't know you're not allowed to kill. So Amale Abaya, he aimed mutter onesu. If he thinks you're allowed to do it, then it's accidentally. So how can you call him mazid? How can you call him intentional? Amale, he says, Rava said to Abaya, Shani aimed, I say, if a guy thinks that it's allowed, it's mazid. It's closer to intentional than accidental. Meaning, if a guy thinks you're allowed to murder, yeah, then it's closer to mazid. The Gemara is not saying it's mazid. It's closer to deliberate than accidental. And the truth is, as Mufashim say, there's going to be talked about two blood from here. So the Gemara said, Bevli Das, if you kill somebody without awareness, meaning prat l'miskaven, exclude somebody if you kill him intentionally, then it doesn't, you know, then you don't go to the city of refuge. So the Gemara asks, miskaven, if he intends to kill the guy, of course, Bar Katol, he should be killed. That's called intentional. Rabbi says no. It means as follows. Prat l'miskaven l'adigasa behema, if a guy wanted to kill an animal, he killed a person instead. Or, Lakusi, he wanted to kill a Kusi, which was a din of a non-Jew. And he ended up killing a Yisrael. Or, Lenefel, he wanted to kill a baby that was going to die anyway. And he ended up killing a fully developed child. Okay? So therefore, it was actually unintentional. So L'cha'era, I would think that he goes to the city of refuge, so the din is he doesn't.
He gets killed?
Huh?
He gets killed?
Yes. No.
What happens to him? Nothing. So if someone wants to kill person A and he accidentally kills person B, nothing happens to him?
That we'll see later in the Gemara. If you wanted to kill Reuven and by mistake you killed Shimon, so over there you get capital punishment anyway.
Why? Was that so?
Because bottom line, no matter either one of them you killed, you would have gotten killed. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to kill an animal and you killed a person instead, it's a different story. They hunt humans. Jews don't hunt animals. They go to kill the people. But therefore, no. But the problem is, he's called closer to Mazid, and he wouldn't get Ari Mikla wouldn't be enough for him. here he discusses, one second. Here. Lamashal, what happens in that case though? He wanted to kill an animal and he ended up killing a person. It's not accidental, because he should have been careful, but it's not intentional. So what happens? Bezin says, God, you deal with it.
They actually say it?
No. Hashem leaves it, like it says, the crime is considered too severe to be atoned by mere exile. In such a case, ultimate punishment is left in the hands of heaven.
In which case?
The Marshal. By Miskaven. Any Miskaven to me. The Marshal. Like he explains, he gives a whole introduction to his own. What happens if somebody kills, Reuben kills Shimon, but there are no witnesses? Or the only witnesses were not kosher. Relatives, whatever. What happens? What happens? Bezni can't kill him. He doesn't go to the city of refuge, because that's only good for accidental. Bezni can't kill him, there are no witnesses. So what happens? Bottom line is, God will make a decision what to do with the guy. If God wants to kill him, he'll kill him. If he doesn't want to kill him, he won't kill him. If a guy shoots a behemoth, an animal, and by mistake a person comes, it's too severe. It's more than accident. It's more than accident. It's not coming down the ladder. The guy slipped and the guy was shooting. He should be more careful. So then the din is, he can't run to the city refuge. It's not enough for him. But you can't kill him either. Because he didn't intend to kill the guy. What's the case? What's the din? Bottom line? God handles it.
What if he was shooting at somebody who ran in front of the arrow?
Also, that's called inadvertently. And that is not accidental. It's worse than accidental. Because when you shoot, you should be aware that a guy might run in front of it. Then he wouldn't run to the city of refuge.
But then you have his family out there who probably want to take vengeance.
They can't.
They can't?
No. They can't do anything to the guy.
Okay.